Thank you. casa.
A broken vessel.
God made a way they could fill.
Yeah.
The wooden cross, three rusty nails on Calvary's rugged cross. Mercy filled the prisoner.
Thank you.
Jimmy's going to sing. Rabbi Jimmy. How about that? John, I'm going to pick up all from these things tonight. And then Friday night, Brother Rose will sing. Then I believe Kay Moffis will sing on Saturday night. Now, we appreciate Brother Maines. We love him. And I asked him tonight if he would preach on one sermon this week, some night for me. He'll be mentioned a few minutes. And if you don't, I get him the airplane. He will. I guarantee you that. Amen. Now, here is your friend of mine, young man with an old message, Brother Maines. Let's make him up.
All right. I didn't know we'd get that kind of welcome, but it's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad that I have a report to give you. God's still on the throne.
Amen.
Everything's going to be all right. Wonderful. God is blessing those that want to be blessed.
Amen.
I hope you came tonight. I got blessed in the singing. And I appreciate Brother Tom and all these years that we've had fellowship together. And we're looking every night for God to do something real good.
Amen.
Now you say, well, God won't bless me but one night. Well, don't miss that one because you won't get a blessing there. I hope you'll be here every night. God will bless you for coming. Big rally service coming up Sunday afternoon. I want to say just a word. I'll get right in the message in a moment. I was in Pascagoula, Mississippi a couple of weeks ago, and a little mother came up and stood, and the tears streamed down her cheeks after the service, and she said, Brother Maines, you remember so-and-so? And I said, you mean your son? And she said, yes. Said, you always sat with me back there when you came. But said, you preached a sermon one night here in Pascagoula at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And said he never forgot it. And said he's over in Saudi Arabia, somewhere on the front lines. And I'm going to send him a letter just as quick as I can get it to him. And I want you to give me just a sentence or just a say and sign your name. And I'll get it to him as quick as I can. Now tomorrow night, I'm going to give you what I gave that lady in that letter for that boy on the front lines in Saudi Arabia. In fact, I'm going to preach a sermon, and I'm going to send the tape to her. But now, she's already sent what she asked me to write down. What would you have said to that boy if you had just one sentence to write? And if you didn't know one, you'd ever get to see him again. What would you write down if you'd be here tomorrow night? Why, I'll bring you that message, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I believe it'll be a blessing, and it'll help you. And so we're glad for your being here tonight. Look in John 21 while I make some more announcements. Brother Tom asked me one night, maybe Saturday night, we'll bring the message about walking the last mile with a condemned man to the electric chair. We'll have a young man that'll be here one night, I don't know what night, and I'm going to tell you that night that he's here. His brother's going to die in two weeks in the electric chair. But he'll be here one night. He was in our meeting last week, and he'll be here one night this week. And it's an awful thing to know your brother's down yonder, and he's going to die in the electric chair. But let me say, you come every night, and I believe God will bless you. Sunday afternoon at 2:30, I'm going to bring you a message, what the war will do to this nation. Now, I'm for every man and every woman's over there. I believe in backing your country, your flag.
Amen.
I believe in standing up for what we believe.
That's right.
But just sure as you're here, that war's going to do something to this country that this country's never had to happen. I'm going to speak on that Sunday afternoon. I want you to bring your Bible. But I'll give you other messages. But don't forget tomorrow night. I hope you'll call somebody and get them here. And I'm going to speak on the phrase that I gave that lady to send her boy in Saudi Arabia. All right, I want you to look at John chapter 21. Joanne asked me, said, Brother Maines, what you going to preach on? And I said, I'm going to preach on what to do when you don't know what to do. Have you ever been in a place you didn't know what to do?
Come on.
Yeah. You said, Lord, I just got off the mess I ever got in. I don't know what to do. Well, here Jesus appeared the third time after his resurrection. And we see something unusual here. And I believe he'll help every one of you tonight. And you leave here saying, the Lord spoke to my heart. Let's stand all over the house for the reverence of reading the Bible, please. Matthew, John 21, verse 1. After these things. That's very important right there. Three words. After what? After these things. Anytime the Bible is said after something, something important has gone on before it. But let's read. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. For there were gathered together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth in the ship, and immediately at that night they caught nothing. I never did catch anything. I could quit going, praise God. I never did catch anything. I always went the day before, the day after this bite. I never could hit the day. The Bible said they could feast all night and caught nothing. Look what the Bible said. But the morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore. But Jesus knew not but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore it. Now they were not able to draw, for it was a multitude of fishes. Therefore that the disciples whom Jesus loved, that disciple whom Jesus loved, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it, it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him. For he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came to the little ship, for they were not from the land, far from the land. But as it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes, and as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals, and their fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish, which ye have caught, now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all there was so many, yet not the net broken. Notice verse 12. We'll read down through verse 14, and I'll bring you the message. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples does ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus cometh and taken some bread and give it to them, and the fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus himself showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And in the introduction tonight, I'll tell you about the other two times that Jesus appeared after his resurrection. Can you imagine the shock of standing at the cross and seeing a dead man taken down, placed in a tomb, and then meeting him 3 days later? Can you imagine the shock of that? I mean, that was something. And he showed himself the third time. In fact, if you study the New Testament, about 11 or 12 times after Jesus was raised from the dead, he showed himself before he ascended to heaven. Now, brother, you talk about proof. I know he lives, praise God. And because he lives, we don't have a thing to worry about. But I'm going to show you something I trust to be a blessing. I want you to be seated all over the house, if you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray and then bring you the message. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask God to touch us tonight and give us what we need in this service. Father, I want to thank you for all the blessings you bless us with. Glory to God. It's just good to be an old-time Christian, to walk with God, to talk with God, to know that we're in the family of God, to know that we're justified, that we've been cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, you know every heart tonight. You know every soul that's come to harmony. I pray that we'll get in tune with God. Oh, Lord, tonight, for that one that's drifted away, may the sweet Spirit of God in the preaching of the Word of God bring that one back to that sweet fellowship. And then, Lord, I pray for that one that's lost, benighted, undone, without hope in this down in this congregation that's lost and without God. Yeah. And so I pray that you get a hold of that heart. Yeah. Lord, I pray that you convict that soul and save it before it's everlastingly too late. Now, Father, bless the preaching of the Word of God. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way, and I'm going to speak to you on what to do when you don't know what to do. The disciples had given up. The disciples had feasted all night. And the scripture says they caught nothing. They didn't know where to go. The Savior that they'd followed had been crucified. They'd heard that he was alive. Now, the scripture says after these things, the Bible always talks about important things when it said after these things. That there are three things that you'll find that went preceding to this. Number one, you'll find the life of Jesus. There never was a life like his life.
Amen.
I'm glad he never took a wrong step. I'm glad he never spoke a wrong word. I'm glad he had a wonderful life. And then he had a wonderful death. No one ever died like he died, because he died for you. And he died for me. And then no one ever got up like he got up. And all resurrection. And I'm glad to praise the Lord that he lives. And because he lives, he can praise his wonderful name. And the scripture says that he showed himself the third time. Now they quit. They got to the place. And they said, we're through. They went fishing when they ought to be following the Lord.
Amen.
A lot of people are doing things today that are secondary. Nothing wrong with going that fishing. And I want to tell you, when you need the Lord, you need to see God. And what a blessing it is to see the Lord. You say, preacher, what happened? The Bible says they went down and they saw him. Now, I want you to notice that him. When you go to church, do you see him? Are you seeing him? When you go to church, do you see him? Are you seeing the choir, the preacher?
Come on, brother.
Brother, we need to see him.
Amen.
The Bible says the first time he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she came up there and said, I see green clothes. But that's not what I came to see. I want to see him. Where have you taken him? And the Bible says she spoke to the gardener, and she didn't want to speak to him. She wanted to speak to the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God. I'm glad tonight I came to see him. And mister, when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face.
Amen.
The things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The second time he appeared in the upper room, there in the midst of those disciples. My, what a thrill it was. He breathed upon them. The Bible said, he said, peace be unto you. And they were moved when they saw the Lord.
Yeah.
But the third time he appeared was down here on the ocean, the banks of the little ocean there. And when the disciples came down, they found five things there with Jesus. Would you write them down tonight? First, they found faith. Oh, mister, they've about lost their faith. I mean, there are times in your life and you can't get faith. You want to believe, but it's hard to believe. But you know what this book says? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't get faith by handling snakes. You don't get faith, my friend, but some spectacle. You get faith in the word of God. Said they came over there and said, we caught nothing. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the word. You put your faith in the word of God.
Amen.
And mister, you'll never be disappointed.
Right.
You put your faith on the Bible, and you'll never be disappointed. I'm glad it's never let me down. I'm glad every promise in there has a guarantee of heaven behind it. And what a blessing it is to they found faith. Jesus said, I tell you, you think there's no fish out there? and you lost your faith, I guess. You quit believing. But I want you to take that net and put it on the right side.
Well,
brother, I'm glad there's a right side.
Thank God
there's a right side. And we can put our net on the right side.
Amen.
I can see them as they let their nets down. And when they did about that time, Simon Peter said, we hit a snag. Ain't no fish around here. When you obey the word, you'll have fish for supper today. Their faith was renewed. What a blessing. Their faith was restored. It's a real blessing. Joanne asked me about the Middle East. I'm going to tell you a little story about faith that happened in Jerusalem. I was over there with Solomon Mary before he was killed in the Six-Day War. And Solomon said to me, I lost $180,000, Brother Mays. And he said it was bad. And he said, I was put on ration. Every week the Arabs could only get, Brother Mays, one little basket of food. That's all we had. But said, I'd get ready on Thursday when my name was to come up, get in line at the little market and get my little basket of food. But said, I had a little old boy. And said his name was Abraham. And said he believed God.
Yeah.
Said he had faith in the Lord's promise.
Yeah.
And said one Thursday we got ready to leave. And that boy said, Daddy, have you got enough faith to take two baskets? And the dad looked down and said, you know the government regulation. All we'll be able to get is one basket. And the dad said, if you got enough faith, you take a basket along. And the little boy took his basket. When they got nearly up to the police to put the basket on the table, have it filled, a man in a white suit got out of a car and said, hey, Solomon, how you doing? He said, fine. And that little boy stood there with his basket and was afraid to put it upon the table. That man got in that car with a white suit and turned and went back up the road about a block. And that man looked over and said, son, why did you bring another basket? Don't you know the government wants you to have but one basket full? About that time, that man came back in that white suit, jumped out and said to the man, fill up both baskets.
Praise
for that man.
Yeah.
Said when he filled up that second basket, that little old boy looked up with tears dripping down his cheeks and said, Daddy, I told you we'd get two baskets.
Yeah.
Thank God we can come to church. Are you listening to me? We bring both baskets. And the Bible says, as your faith, so shall it be unto thee.
Right.
Oh, if you feast and caught nothing, and if your life is discouraged, and if you don't know where to turn, thank God, look to the Word of God.
Yeah.
It stands forever. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the first thing they found their faith. Over there with him. That was the second thing they found. They found the fire. Thank God. You know, they've got cold. Did you ever get cold in your heart? Did you ever get cold in your soul? Did you ever come to church and try to sing Amazing Grace? And you were cold. Listen, it's easy to get cold in your heart. But if you'll get up close to him tonight, I'll tell you, you'll feel the fire of the Lord. That'll be burning. Bless you.
Yes, he will.
If you ever get used to the fire, bless God, you won't like these cold services.
That's right.
Where heaven is real, and brother, it's wonderful to see that. You say, preacher, what happened? They came and they saw the fire that was burning. Let me say, it'll cure a lot of things in the church.
Yes, it'll
do a lot of things to your home.
Yes,
when it's warm, you take a home where it's cold and indifferent. You take a church when it gets cold. I hate to go to church, brother, where you reach out and shake hands and you act like you got a fish by the tail. Say amen.
Yeah.
Church, brother.
Well.
The singing's cold. And the preaching's cold.
Oh.
I want to tell you something. If you'll ever get to the fire, what a blessing. They saw the fire burning. I'm glad that I felt the holy fire of God.
Yes.
And oh, what a blessing. Old Isaiah, he talked about, woe is me. And God put the fire on his lips, mister. And he said, here I am, going. Elijah said in 63 words, in about a minute and a half, let the fire fall. And the Bible said it fell. Jeremiah 20 said, I sat down and said, God, I'm finished, I'm through. And God struck a match to his bones. And the Bible said the word of God became a fire in my bones. And I couldn't remain still. I had to get up. Brother, when God sets your bones on fire, then you have to get up. What a blessing it is. Some of you went to tell him, I was a little boy, and my daddy would take me to hear great preachers. And he took me to hear this preacher, and he tuttered. And I said, boy, it's going to be sickening. That fella can't preach. Boy, I sat there as a little boy, not even a Christian. And that fella got up and he said, somebody asked me what I'm going to preach on. Said, I'm going to preach on Jesus. My hair stood straight up on my head. Oh, you say, preacher, man, listen, there's some fire in that man. You know what he said? His words were like fire that burned. He said to, when I was a little boy in Oklahoma, he said, me and my brother used to have to work on the farm. He said, we had to plow. He said, one day went out and got this old mule. This mule wouldn't plow. And said, I got mad. And I took him by the ear and bit it until it wouldn't plow. So my brother said, go in and get me some newspapers. He'll plow this whole field up. And I got it. What happened? He said, I went in and got the newspapers and put it under his tummy, struck a match to it, and said, that mule ain't stopped plowing since. Praise get some folks here in Harmony Baptist Church. God would start a fire in our souls. I want to tell you something. We wouldn't have to beg you to come to church Sunday morning. We wouldn't have to beg you to come, Mr. Sunday night. Oh, I say to you tonight, when these disciples, they quit, they didn't know what to do, they didn't know where to go. First they found faith, second they found fire. Then I like this. They found food. Say amen. Boy, they found bread. I like that. Fish. Amen. I'll tell you. And they found plenty down there. If you ever eat, notice what Jesus said. He said, come and die. I heard him say one day, maybe he's coming to die. Jesus invites you to come and dine. It's the best meal you ever tasted in your life. Amen. When you eat manna which came down from heaven. He said you ate your fathers of the manna in the wilderness, but they died. But Jesus said, I am the living bread. And if you eat of this bread, you'll never die. Boy, you talk about feasting at the table of the Lord. Nothing like feasting at God's table. When they got there, Jesus said, come on, I'm going to let you eat. Thank God, when I come to God's house, I like to hear the Holy Ghost say, pull up a table. And put your pew close by. I'm going to let you eat of the good things God's blessing with. And when you eat of God's table, you'll be able to go out and to say it's wonderful. I sat down with Jesus. I ate at the table of the Lord. Boy, it's blessed to know that you can have Jesus at your house, at your table, and you can eat at the table of God, and God will bless you. I remember this, somebody asked me the last week, said, down the line, said, you ever tell that about that poor family down in Columbia you went to eat Wednesday all night? And I said, yes. Let me tell you about it. Finest family I guess I ever saw. I was a young preacher. God had blessed me. I was preaching one night in West Columbia, South Carolina, and an old one-armed man came down as a farmer. And he walked up to me, and he had ragged clothes on. Had a pretty little wife, and she didn't have much on, just old rags. And he had about seven or eight little youngins, and every one of them was ragged, but the prettiest things you ever saw. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Mays, I want you to know I'm a farmer. I ain't had a crop in 4 years. I've lost everything. He said, but my family would like for you to come and sit down at our table.
Well, bless you.
Oh, listen. That's one of the finest tables I ever sat down.
Praise God.
I told him, I said, 2 weeks from Friday, I'll come. And you know, I never even want to look like a preacher, act like a preacher, or drive a car like a preacher. Say amen right there.
Come
on. Amen.
Come on.
And I was a young preacher, and I had me a Green Hornet car. I put a foxtail on the front of it. Say amen right there. That's a preacher. Polished that thing, put the best sport clothes I had on that Friday, went over there in Casey, South Carolina, and turned down the roughest road I ever went down. Saw an old half-farm house, and the windows were broken. The roof was falling in. A little old family standing on the porch, and that man with the one hand singing, "Welcome, welcome to our house."
Hey,
I got out of the car, and boy, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. And that little old baby boy ran down, and he said, he said, "It sure is a pretty car you got. Where'd you get it, Brother Mays?" I said, "Jesus gave it to me." He said, "I hope he gives me one. Praise God." You know what we did? We went in the house. And I never will forget. They didn't have anything but crates. They didn't have any seats. They had some old crates that they got out there to maybe where they sold fruit or something. And then they had just one big old long table where they ate. They didn't have any little fancy dinettes like we got at our house. You got one, you know what it is, little dinette. All these little thrones, chairs. They had two big old long benches. We got ready to come in there to eat. And that little girl said, "Here I come." And she scooted down. And the little boy said, "Here I come." And he scooted down. And I got up and I said, "Here I come." Break my ice cube. We got around that table. We got around that table. Old Brother Johnson, that one-armed man, said, "We all praise God for the food." I looked up there and it didn't have but beans and cornbread. But oh, let me tell you, it tastes like T-bones from Texas. It's the best eating you ever saw. And listen to me. I got along good while some of them prayed. But when that little girl said, "Jesus, I want to thank you that Brother Mays has come to our house and he's eating at our table." Boy, when she got through, we was all crying.
And hey,
God. I want to tell you something. That's one of the best meals I ever had. There's just one thing about it. I'm on the onion with those beans and cornbread. My mother said to me, "If you go to a house, don't ever ask for anything." Oh, I won't ask for that onion so bad I couldn't stand it. But when I left there the next morning, started down the road in that green car, I turned back and they were raising their arms. Oh, Brother Johnson, that one arm raised and singing, "God be with you till we meet again." I've been in a royal palace. I sat where only a few people could see at the table of a bountiful supply. They thank Jesus for the beans, and they thank Jesus for the cornbread, and they